The content of this Dig Into It radio broadcast may be offensive to some listeners. Please listen with caution. Oh, and don't run with scissors.
Yeah! Rockin'!
You're listening to Leanne Tooker is Not Crazy on Dig Into It Radio.
Leanne Tooker is not crazy. Leanne Tooker is not crazy.
Hey guys, this is Leanne. You are listening to Leanne Tooker's Not Crazy on Dig Into It Radio Live. Thanks for tuning in today. This is my 48th episode and my last show of the year. I'll be back in January. The January date has yet to be determined, but as usual, you can stay informed about the show and keep up with our schedule on Twitter. So please follow us at Dig Into It Radio. That's at D-I-G, the letter N, the number 2, I-T, radio. You can like us on Facebook, and of course, you can also listen to Dig Into It Radio anytime and anywhere on your mobile device with the app Stitcher. Today, I'm ending the year with a bang. I've got two really funny people on the show that I've had the pleasure of working with a lot, comedians Sally Mullins and David Connolly. Welcome to the show, guys.
Put an O in.
That's the I keep putting it. Yeah.
Oh, why did I get him on the show?
And it's not even an Irish accent. I don't know why I've done it like four times.
Well, I don't have an Irish name, so I think she just like went with the whole Irish theme.
Yeah.
You know?
We should all be there. Sally O'Mullins.
Yeah.
I just know you're foreigners. I don't even pay attention to the
accent.
You're just like United Kingdom, UK.
America and the rest. Yeah. But don't torture us.
America and the rest. The three of us have been spending a lot of time together recently because, well, I spend a lot of time with Sally in general because she's sort of my BF. Mm. And,
You might get in trouble for
saying well, you know, I'm not saying I'm her number one BF. I'm just saying she's my BF. There's a diff. Might as well clear that up for friends out there that are intense. Anyway, you threw me with that. She's my BF. I also work with her a lot at the Comedy Store in the Vargas Mason shows up there, which are always fun. And speaking of Vargas Mason, Vargas and Sally and a couple other comics just did an awesome tour for the Entertaining the Armed Forces. Why don't you tell us about the tour, Miss Sally Mullins?
That was so fun, and I love being your BF. I love hanging out with you.
Even though I'm not your number one BF. Let's make that clear.
I got a lot of bitches.
Sally's pretty popular. Yeah, she's got a lot of bitches, and some of them younger than me, too. So.
Oh, gosh. But those girls are old souls. Really.
No, I think you're sucking the youth out of them is what's happening. That's how you're keeping it together.
I'm doing
so
that
good.
To everyone in the town. I did that to the troops.
Oh.
I'm kidding.
Wow.
Look, we support the troops. Yeah. I mean, that's...
You know, they're there to protect and serve us. Or is that the cops? But, you know, they did
not
it.
These days, anyway. Oh, shit. Well, that's the truth. That's just the truth.
That's the thing. I went overseas with Vargas and a few other just amazing comics. And we traveled through... let me tell you where we went. We went to the Bahamas, Cuba, Gitmo, Guantanamo Bay...
Mm-hmm. Wow, and Cuba's about to open up, isn't it, for the rest of us? But you were a forerunner.
They
were a pioneer.
Yeah.
You're probably part of the reason that they're changing their stance on
this. Is that what happened? They went, look, if we're going to let Mullins and
then who can we let in?
That's the German version of my name.
Yeah, why don't we just let them all in, basically?
Might as well.
Yeah. Well, thanks for opening it up. That's good, Was it fun?
And let's say that it was the Zero
Dirk Nordy Tour. Zero Dork Nerdy Tour. Wow.
Zero Dork Nerdy.
It was really fun.
So where did you go in Cuba? Did you just, or was it?
Just Guantanamo.
Just Guantanamo,
It wasn't in the Cuba
Is that
proper.
Fun? I could imagine that's a real fun place to hang out.
It was beautiful.
Really?
Yeah, it was like really hilly, really green. I went jogging like up a hill, and they put us up in sort of these really nice base condominiums. And it was super cool, like the grocery store, like I guess the PX, because it was just like a really sprawling base. Like it didn't feel like the other bases, you know. But it was like a huge, they call the PX is like the military sort of sundry store, you know. It's like a huge convenience store for the most part, or a small Target or something. But this one just had everything, you know. And I remember I went into it and Vargas was like, okay, we're in these condos for a couple of days, everybody get, you know, what you need to eat. And they pay for a lot of the meals on the road, like the company does that you're working for, you know, with like Department of Defense and the company. But he said, get everything and get like, you know, like laundry, detergent and stuff like that. And I came out of there with a bottle of vodka and a bikini. The store was cool. The store was cool. I'm saying, like, it tempted me away from, you know, being practical.
You're like, look, they give us meals. Mm-hmm. I'm going to use my money on vodka and bikinis.
That's all you need, really. And what about the prison? Did you see the prison?
No. We didn't see the prison. No, we talked to some people who worked there, but we didn't see the prison. They didn't take us on a tour. Instead, they took us on a boat with beer and... you know, swimming in the ocean and these cute life jackets.
Was he like, don't look back, don't look over there, there's nothing to be seen. No. Is that someone being waterboarded? No. He's just got a towel on his head. And
I saw some photos of Sally on a boat in a bikini. I don't know that she was really too concerned with what else was going on.
Look, I got taken on this tour. Vargas was like, well, you don't do political comedy, so you're on
tour.
Because if you do, you know, that's... probably not the kind of set they want going on over there for the military.
So you couldn't do anything about, like, Dick Cheney and all his comments about the CIA?
I don't do it anyway.
When has Sally ever been up there and been like, Republicans, right? I mean...
Sometimes I say on stage, I don't care what politics you are. I'm never going to meet your parents. Like, I have jokes about you being oblivious and not reading the news.
Yeah.
You know? And about not following things on TV in case I get picked to be on the jury. Like, that's my way of being a good citizen.
Oh, that's really cool. Of you, so deliberately not keeping up with current events.
Yeah, I know.
That's fantastic.
I go out of my way.
That's a great idea for a comedian. I hadn't thought of that. I'm now going to disconnect everything and not go out, actually. Yeah.
Well, it was interesting to be overseas. I remember being in Honduras and being on the base and, you know, hearing a lot of the soldiers talking about the riots that were going on, not to be in America when those things were going on. And I was getting texts, and some days you could get texts, some days you got Wi-Fi, some days you didn't. But hearing, you know, news that these riots are going on here and here and here, and then you're in, like, a totally different setting. I mean, that was really interesting.
Yeah.
You know, not the normal reactions and... Yeah, and then you come back and you're like, whoa, a lot went on.
What were the people of Honduras making of those riots then?
For the most part, I feel like the soldiers I talked to were kind of like, I didn't get so much a vibe on the riots, just more of a vibe on these things happen when there's all these out-of-control issues, you know, but not
racism.
Yeah.
This is what happens.
And I guess, you know, like, things are going to keep happening because what, now they're finding out that, like, so many people lied.
It's ridiculous. Well, and everything that prosecutor did with the grand jury was completely abnormal to how you would handle it if you were trying to get an indictment.
Yeah.
And he fucking donates to the, you know, cause of Darren Wilson and other officers. Like, there's a complete conflict of interest. There's all this shit that's come out. Nobody gives a shit. Because it's black people.
Well, we were very lucky, weren't we? Because the night that the New York non-indictment happened, we were at the Comedy Store and Dave Chappelle came on. And I felt it was like watching Lenny Bruce. You know, he was just angry, talking about what was actually going on.
Yeah, but it was neat because you were like...
It's really neat.
Especially in today's world, to have a moment where shit is real for everyone in that room. Like, all at one time, we're all really experiencing something. We're not, you know...
Yeah,
I love anything like that. Like, when Obama first got elected, I was in Amsterdam, and I was watching it, and my friends Tony and Eve, they made me stay. We stayed up. They said, you will get involved in current events. And we stayed up till, like, 3 a.m., you know, and we watched it.
So you knew he was president.
Yeah,
that's good.
You know, we stayed up at a coffee house, and we checked it out.
Yeah.
But it was also just really interesting to be in that military environment when this was going down.
Sure.
You know?
It is interesting to be in other environments. Like, I remember when something's like, I remember I was in India after 9/11. And their take on it was really different from how it would be in perceived, certainly in America. Whereas they were saying that where I was in Mumbai, several thousand people had died a few weeks earlier, and it wasn't in the news at all.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, okay, it wasn't a terrorist act, but it was like, this many people have died. And, and they said to me, as an Englishman, are they talking about this in your country? I go, no, they're still talking about New York.
Right.
That's all. And going, why is that then? And going, well,
they're Americans.
Yeah. They're Americans.
They
they're more important, obviously. You know.
Go ahead. I
was going to mention this at the end of the show, but it just seems we're sort of on the topic, sort of ish.
We're ahead of ourselves. Is this what you're saying?
On December 27th, I'm going to participate in the Millions March for Black Lives Matter, like the thing they just did in New York. They're doing one in L.A.
Great.
And there's a Facebook thing. I think it's Millions March or Millions March L.A. Mm. I mean, I'm sure it's an easy Google search. But anyway, so anyone out there who, you know, wants to show, you know...
That might be a good place for me to meet some really hot black dudes.
Well, that is certainly not my motivation, but I'm not turning it down should it work out that way.
But it is Sally's, so there you go.
Well, you know what? As long as you're showing more bodies in the street, I'm down with that. Whatever gets you out there to fucking show them that, you know, people are paying attention.
This is on the 27th?
Yeah, which is a Saturday. Because, see, normally I can't participate in shit like that that I want to do because I'm at my day job. And, you know, they're going to kind of frown at me being like, I want to go rally.
I love that phrase. Normally I can't do it because I'm busy. I can't possibly.
I can't leave my job. I don't think they're going to be like, yeah, sure. Especially I work in Beverly Hills. I'm like, hey, man, I'm going to cut out early, okay? I'm going to the Millions March for Black Lives Matter. They'd be like, you're fired.
Look, you could sue them. I think you could sue them if they fired you for that.
Really?
Yeah.
But I have a right to protest?
Yes. I think that's isn't that the First Amendment? Or was it free speech?
I think for that you could get away with.
Regardless, it's on a Saturday at 2 p.m., guys.
Yeah. So they've been very thoughtful the way they planned the whole thing out.
Yeah.
Unless, of course, you work on weekends, in which case it's very tricky. We understand that you might not be able to make it. Because in your case, black lives don't matter as much as your job. Yeah,
that is not true. They matter.
White lives matter more.
And the other thing is, though, that it's not just black lives, okay? It's
lives.
Lives, yeah. There's a real abuse of power and a sense of entitlement that cops are just fucking out of control, period.
Yeah, my friend Dennis was saying that. He was like, well, look, even if you're racist, like, don't you want to know what's going on with cops when they shoot people?
Like, I mean, wouldn't you like to think they can't just fucking do it and get away with it?
Yeah. It's like, you know.
Yeah, but racists are ignorant, so they're just fucking dumbasses anyways.
Yeah, they just figure, you know.
But anyway, on lighter subject, I just went ahead and got the downer stuff out. I was going to ask you, though, other than politics, what were there any differences in the shows or, like, the audience or like, jokes that worked there that didn't work here or anything like that?
The audiences were great. The shows were great. It was so much fun. The show in Honduras was really interesting because they originally wanted to put it in the fire station, which would have been, like, open, and they would have had a huge American flag hanging, and it would have looked really great, you know, in our photos and videotape. But we got to Honduras, and there was, like, this howling wind and rain. And I still jogged all around the base with the handler. I got the handler dude jogging.
That's good runner,
awesome.
Sally.
Check out her bikini photos. Yeah. This is how she makes it happen.
Yeah. Somehow, but David's a really fast runner. But we ended up convincing them to let us put it in this little, like, Oktoberfest type bar. And, you know, I've been doing comedy for 17 years. It was in the top 5 of all my shows.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
And did you get tape of that?
Yeah, Vargas taped everything.
Yes.
Really?
Taped everything.
So
that's awesome.
Is it sometimes you see these? Do you do any intense where you've got people? You know,
I've heard there are gigs like that, but one was at a Quality Inn, and it was outside, but it was always on a stage. I mean,
always mic'd up? You always had a microphone?
Yeah. One time they were like, no, we didn't get the mic, but then they got the mic.
And what about the lighting? Was it sometimes in the middle of the day?
Sometimes there was never any show in the middle of the day. I mean, sometimes we...
Shelly wouldn't have been awake for that shit, okay?
I just want to say...
Doesn't do mornings.
We totally do.
Well, what comedy does,
really? Comedians like matters.
There's a march. It's at 2 p.m.
Yeah. We're doing that. It's an afternoon march. Yeah.
Maybe I had a really good tour, but these shows were pretty good. I mean, sometimes you went in there and the lighting guy's like, this is all we've got. And then Vargas would say, well, let's try this and this. I bet we can find some more, you know.
He should have had me on music.
You know? I love your 80s mixes. Oh. I mean, obviously, I love them.
I think the Comedy Store was very appreciative of that while you two were away.
When Vargas and Sally were away, David and I were holding down the fort.
We did get a few calls.
I was about to say calls that we were awesome, because we really held it
Everybody said it. Everybody said you guys were great. Like, everyone I talked to.
In Honduras? Were they talking about that in Honduras?
Especially El Salvador, Pitmo.
Yeah, where they saying, wow, they had Duran Duran between acts. It was amazing.
They were like, that show was great tonight, but we think a better one went on at the Comedy Store.
To be honest. So how many people were watching your shows?
Well, Guantanamo Bay, we had about 300 people. It was the biggest event, they said, that had been there for like 2 years. And what was really cool, Leanne, was so many women, like... I remember in Gitmo, there were so many cute little soft butch lesbians who were coming up to me going, this is so great. This is so great for, like, you know, people of all orientations and the men and women. And then this girl in Honduras.
And were you the only woman on the show?
No,
was
Sheila Rivera is terrific. And she was, you know, she had lines. Like, they rotated the order. It was me, Vargas Mason, of course, Jimmy Schubert, so funny, off Last Comic Standing last year.
Oh, okay.
Or earlier
awesome.
This year, rather. He was one of the 10 finalists on Last Comic Standing. And then we had Claude Stewart. You know, he's done a lot of acting. He's been on, like, Scrubs and That 70s Show, Comedy Central. And Sheila Rivera, who's been on Comedy Central, Unleashed. She was the other lady on the tour. So it was, everyone was so different. Like, Claude's intensely physical. And, you know, Vargas has, like, that combination of, like, you know, physical. And then he's got, like, all his dad material. And he's so cute and everything. And so, you know, he just, like, brought the audience together. And then Jimmy is just, like, you know, wild, crazy ranter. And Shayla was just, like, she's so conversational, but just, like, busting the guy's balls. And I was the host. I was up top. And then I'd do stuff in between.
Okay.
And I mean, yeah, my act isn't political, but it is, like, really sexual.
Yeah,
so
that's what I was going to say. How did that work, like, with female soldiers and I don't know,
a
you
lot
know?
Of people are asking me that. This girl was in Honduras, and she said, this was the coolest thing ever. She said, first of all they ever have come here is, like, wrestling or cheerleaders, which the guys are like, yay, you know,
yeah.
And then the women, yeah, we go along sometimes. And she goes, then I saw the postcard for your show, Zero Dork Nerdy, and I'm like, this sounds really stupid. So she was going to blow it off. She was going to blow it off. And
I
then
like
she
your
came.
Honesty.
Yeah, she was like, I wasn't going to come. And then she said, you're up first. And, you know, you're like this cougar, you know, talking about, like, sex and, you know, being, like, really self-deprecating but, like, freaking me out in a good way. And she goes, and then this other lady, Shayla, comes up and she's just, like, kicking ass and taking names. And she's this, she's a rocket scientist from Puerto Rico. And she goes, and I'm here going, I'm on board. I'm on board for this ride. And she goes, I think every woman in the room felt like, okay, this is for us too, you know?
Yeah.
And that felt really good.
That I can imagine, right?
Like, in the morning, I remember, like, crying on the bus thinking, I was also really hungover. We partied.
Yeah.
I just want to say we really partied.
Really?
And that,
is that why you were crying?
I mean,
because
any good party ends with a good cry.
Yeah.
Everybody knows that.
In El Salvador, we released these baby sea turtles into the ocean.
Oh,
and
nice.
I was crying, and Jimmy was like, you know, it really meant a lot to the ladies who do the turtle, you know, farms that you were crying. That made a big impression. And I was like, I have really bad PMS.
Yeah.
I was also
but I'm glad they think
now.
I have a soul instead of PMS.
Yeah. Well,
I was letting the tour.
My PMS was masquerading as a soul while I was on tour.
Yeah, that's good.
That is funny.
You girls are so lucky to have that.
Yeah. Write that down. That's a good show for you. My PMS is so intense, it masquerades as a soul. Tweet that.
Yeah. Our soul.
Hilarious.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, dear.
Yeah, I was also like last call, you know, for anyone around. You know, I was like, I'm getting my period.
Time is running out.
Yeah. You know, guys, come on. Depends
Sally,
how picky the guy
is, Sally has a lot of, you know, male fans, I would say.
Even more now. And are they all in uniform when they're watching the show?
No.
Oh.
Like, no one was.
I pictured them all in uniform.
Yeah, this is not what I imagined.
Kind of a drag in that way.
I mean, I think I'm picturing, like, Marilyn Monroe and Bob Hope and shit. So,
I'm probably harking
back to a different.
Yeah. I'm thinking of Apocalypse Now that you're coming down in helicopters and then having to be, like, airlifted out.
No one was in uniform. Bummer. Some commanders were. Oh my gosh, this was
commanders,
so funny.
That sounds good.
Yeah.
Command me.
We went to the
Leanne is available
military.
For all kinds of
I
tours.
Like a soldier, you know?
Yeah, something
sexy about
sometimes they had, well, we had this intense military briefing in Honduras, and oh my gosh, it was so, they told us all about the work they were doing with the cartels, and all about what the cartels were doing to the country, and the one commander was like, you know, I think if people who did drugs saw what drugs did to a country, they'd stop doing drugs. And in my mind, I'm like, you don't know my exes. I think that maybe
that's cute of you to
people.
Think that.
Yeah, I didn't say that. It was a really intense conversation, and I think, you know, they wanted us to know, but they also kind of wanted to like share and relate, and it was really powerful. It was one of the most powerful moments of the tour, finding out about all the things that are going on in these countries that
Yeah. So is that what you have a chat afterwards? Is it after the show?
It was before.
Oh, really? Oh, before you go on, let me tell you something that will
let me tell you some serious shit, and then now go up there and be funny.
Yeah. Oh, you're on. Good luck.
They were basically just like, no rape jokes, no racist jokes. Okay, we got it. You know?
Really? Yeah. Oh, you couldn't be in the police then, could you?
Right. On both counts.
I know, yeah.
They didn't care about backstage. Yeah. They were just like up there, you know. Yeah.
Well, and
that's cool.
So the three of us work together a lot. You guys, I think, go way back. I mean, maybe further.
Well, just that we're both born in England. I have no accent. He's still got that pretty accent.
Yeah.
I've been working on that.
So, Sally, you came over when you were... And wait, do I say that you're British or English? I never know what the fuck I'm supposed to do.
I say English. I'd never really use the word British until I'm American. I've just literally
British
given up.
British does kind of sound like... judgment.
Yeah.
It sounds like...
Well,
I think British is trying to separate yourself from Ireland a little bit.
Well, this. I mean, I always think I'm English because I've got friends who say they're Scottish or Welsh or Irish. I remember some Welsh actor being interviewed on a red carpet and they said, you're from Wales, England, right? And he went, no, Wales is in Great Britain. So I never really say Britain. It's only in America they say Britain.
We don't say Great Britain.
You say English and you say England.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's a few things I've given up.
Okay, that's good. Yeah. That's what I used to do, and I think somewhere along the line, I was like, oh, no, that's not, and then I started thinking, do I say, and then I was confused. So now, cool.
Yeah.
I think we're hybrids
yeah.
now, though. There's a few things that I forget are actually English or British, and I say them back home, and they go, what are you talking about? Because there's still things here that I say that people say, what are you talking
about? Yeah, sure.
And you kind of forget.
You came over when you were like 5 or 10.
I came over I lived in New York from 2004 to 2008, and then Los Angeles from 2008.
Okay.
We've been in LA about the same amount of time.
Yeah. Oh, really?
Yeah.
But you left England much later.
Much later. Yeah.
It's puberty. Like, if I would have left England 4 or 5 years later, I would still have the accent.
Okay.
Yeah. I was in my mid-30s when I left.
So he'd almost finished going through puberty.
Yeah, almost. I'm nearly there.
Well,
you know.
There's someone I don't like very much that is older and has an English accent, and there's times where I just feel like, you're forcing that. I feel like you're trying to hold on to
it. People are professional English. Yeah. I was at an audition recently, though, and someone
like,
said,
have you changed anything that you say to the American way of saying it?
Maybe. Well, the thing is, I was at an audition recently, and the casting director said, you've got to work on your British accent. And I said,
what?
A bunch of Americans were in the room and going, you think we sound like that? We don't. We don't. This is how...
Then I'm screwed if I ever have to fucking...
Oh, no. I think her ear was more attuned to Americans doing impressions of Brits.
Yeah, it was. That's what it was.
When a real Brit was in the room, she said, your accent's not good enough.
She kind of sounds like an idiot.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Oh, yeah. But, I mean, so there's probably things that I say now which I don't really... I kind of think, is that British or is that American?
Yeah, there are still some things.
It's
yeah.
even though I'm saying British. I would never say in England that I was British.
Yeah.
It would be unheard of.
Yeah.
Especially in Scotland. That would be the worst time to say you were British. They would just clout you.
I'm thinking of all the things that very few things that I know about the accent and the words and stuff, and it did blow my mind a little bit to find out what a fanny is, since everyone was running around here talking about fanny packs.
Yes. Don't say that in England, because that means you've got a pack.
A pussy pack.
You have a vagina pack. But it's also like the accent changes from town to town, and in different parts of the town, people have different accents. It's very specific. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's not
like... You're both from the north.
Yeah, I'm from Leeds originally.
Everyone assumes you're from London.
Yeah, everybody does that. Well, everyone thinks I'm from Australia. But, I mean, it's just...
That's because your accent sucks. Yeah. You need to work on it.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, then I was with an Australian guy last night, and then someone thought he was British and I was Australian. I know. So,
long as you knew what each other.
But then I moved around England quite a lot, so my accent sort of gone through a weird change.
I'm gonna stop being weird and crazy, but I just want you to say this note. I mean, this word.
We're gonna say it. What is it?
I just want to hear the way David says it. Unless you don't know the word, and then it's
promissory.
Thank you. It is promissory. Promissory note. I'm sorry. Jackass that I know says promissory, and I just want to punch him in the face.
Well,
we can do that.
There's some things that, like, I never want to change the way,
and that may be the way they say it over there, but something about when he says it, I feel like you're trying to be different right now.
It changes.
That doesn't feel real to me. I don't know why.
But someone in Newcastle would say it differently than somebody in Southampton. I mean, it's the accent is so different from town to town. And I've got to be honest.
But see, I feel like this is the way that David talks. Yeah. The person that I know, I feel like they're saying, don't you like the way I talk?
He's being professional.
Yeah.
Is he single? Is he just trying to get laid?
No, he's old.
He's old.
And married and still, like, thinks he's, you know.
Should we just punch him? We'll just punch him.
Yeah.
I'm alright.
We'll give him a headbutt. That's English.
I'll give you an address when we go off the air and then you guys take care of it.
No one
ever heard this. We'll delete this.
Yeah. This isn't live, is it? Oh, yeah.
We'll delete this.
I don't think you're special for being British, and I think there's a lot of people professionally play on I'm British.
I think there's a lot of Americans that do think you're special when you start talking like that. They think you're very special and fancy. Yes, they do.
Anybody who thinks
I was
like
one
that.
Of them until I met this jackass, exactly. And then I was like,
Here's the truth. We're not, and we're not more intelligent, but it's all right to think that, but we're not. It's just not true.
Although I still do think that, sort of. I feel like, you know...
You're right.
Because, I mean, like, if I want to get news about what's really going on...
BBC.
As opposed to the Fox. American...
Yeah. the news is filtered here, isn't it? So I found it very hard when I moved. But then you've got the New York Times. It's a very good newspaper. You've got the New Yorker.
Everything's owned, you know, that's true. Five fucking companies or some shit.
Yeah.
And boil it all down.
Things have changed in England, too. It's completely different than... I mean, I left there in 1978.
Rupert Murdoch.
0 years old.
Before Margaret Thatcher.
Oh, she was a piece of work.
Yeah. That's what I mean. My family were like, we're getting out of here now.
Really?
She's coming.
But it was funny because someone in the farmer's market came up to me and goes, I love your accent. I went, that's very kind. She goes, I love Margaret Thatcher.
They don't know what she was about.
And I was going, she was popular here, wasn't she?
Some poor misled women, they're like, she did so much for women's rights. I'm like, oh.
She did not.
No.
I tell you, the first thing that she did when she became prime minister, this is it, she actually. She put a tax on tampons.
She's like a Sarah Palin.
Yeah, she
saw a
revenue stream out of the stream of menstruation.
Yeah, she's a less hot Sarah Palin.
Yeah, she's
way less hot.
No, I have no time for Thatcher. And it's just.
Nah.
She put back women's rights a long way when she was prime minister. Yeah. I think she was one of those women who was adamant that she shouldn't be perceived as a woman. And when she was asked in an interview, funnily enough, on PBS here, saying, what was it like being the first female prime minister? And she said, I'd rather be remembered as the first scientist prime minister, because her degree was in science. I think, I'm not sure, but I think it was in biology. I might check that out. Don't quote me on it. But she was certainly a scientist, whereas most prime ministers weren't scientists.
Yeah, and I mean, it was kind of from a different place, because there is also, like with comedy, like women, you know, we want to be in a situation where two women can go on the road together instead of a club owner going, well, I can't put two women up.
Right.
Mm. But this person does this kind of act, this person does it really matter, like, what sex they are? I mean, I get it coming from that place, but you know, you can't really tax tampons.
I mean...
Love money. Yeah.
I mean, things are getting crazy like that. What's his ass... CEO or whatever of Nestle is trying to buy water rights. Like, he's saying it's not a natural right or whatever for humans to have water.
He's saying it is not a right. I mean, we cannot survive as humans without water. We are. I don't know. I mean,
I am so glad that my show has become very informative, as David says. We as humans cannot survive without water. If you take away one thing from the show today, I think it would be that.
But you learned a lot here. That's why you get the Brits on the show, because they'll tell you how it is. Yeah. We don't mess around, you know?
Don't we already pay for water with the DWP? Like, what's this dude trying to do? Like, bump it up and on?
He wants to have ownership of water.
Oh.
And then charge it out like it's gas. I mean, what's next? Oxygen?
That's a really clever way to get rid of the poor people, right? Right. I mean, that's what they're doing. Yeah. Yeah, they're like, let's depopulate right now.
He just wants control, but I mean, doesn't the DWP already kind of have control of water, though? Oh, because there is free water, I see. There's, like, water fountains and rain.
I mean, oxygen, oxygen and water, I would say, were kind of crucial. I don't know. I'm not a scientist like Margaret
Thatcher. Okay, now, I was with you on the water thing. The oxygen, I think I'll have to do a little research. I mean, I'm American, so I don't know these things, so I'll have to make
O2.
Sure.
Look up O2. See whether you need it. I don't know. I would have thought it was kind of crucial.
You know what? Do you say comparable or comparable?
I say comparable. But
okay, that's
all right.
English.
But I think
Americans,
it's an either
comparable.
Or.
Comparable.
Some of them do.
Okay.
I think there's words like that in America where it's like, which one are you? You know, potato, potato kind of thing.
Yeah.
Aluminium.
What? I don't even know.
But see,
that one.
I don't get that because it really is spelt like aluminum.
I know. I think what Americans do, they simplify things and go, look, that's just silly. Say it like this because that's what it looks like. And they're going, and why have an E there? Why have an S there? We'll put a Z there. Or you put a Z, Daniel.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I didn't know. I was like, put a Z. What are you talking
about? Isn't
that
cute?
Yeah.
They
sorry.
Just say
I
Z.
Forgot.
They do? X, Y, Z?
Thankfully, Sally's here to translate.
Back you up.
Yeah. Whenever I say something that will not be understood by Americans.
Yes. Sally is on the show to translate for David.
As we know, I'm, you know, on both sides of the fence.
ACGC. I take her all around the country with me. It's been amazing, really.
And I do want to throw in, for people who maybe haven't been with me since the very beginning, that Sally is on another episode, which you can also check out. Sally and Bobby Oliver together.
Yeah.
Best buds forever. They're BFF. And they were on a show, I think it was like my second or third episode, so that was fun. You can always go back to the archives. And also, I want to throw in some credits for David here, besides just...
I've got some.
Besides knowing about water and oxygen, he's a really funny dude, and
let's just
speak
of water and oxygen, I think. I mean, I wanted to help people out.
Now, listeners know that I did the Seattle International Comedy Competition this year, and David was helpful to me because he did it the year before.
I did.
And I think you advanced to the... Neither one of us did, and we're funny as fuck.
I know. It's a tough competition, but it's great.
Yeah.
I never forget. I got there, and, I mean, the problem is, it's in Seattle, which is great. I love Seattle. But the problem is, you've got to get on a plane. And as comedians, you have to do a lot of plane rides, if I...
Yeah.
And then every now and again, you're owed one, aren't you, where it's going to be late. And I remember sitting on the tarmac at LAX thinking, oh, the show's at this time, and I'm going to make it, but we were delayed by 5 hours.
My
9 o'clock flight. I had plans. I had big plans of getting into Seattle, getting to know the town, picking up a car, chilling out, reading the paper.
You got to chill before
you know? Well, no, that didn't happen. I got into Seattle, and then I had to pick up a car, and I was driving like mad. And then I was, these comedians who I was supposed to pick up on the way, who I had never met before.
Yeah, because we arranged like carpooling ahead of time on a website and shit.
I'm texting more from the plane going, not going to make it, not make it. And there's one going, where are you? And I pick this guy up, met him before. And I'm literally meeting on this street corner. It's raining because it's Seattle and that's all it does there. I go, come on, let's go. And then we get to this town because when they say Seattle Comedy Competition, what they should really say is the Seattle and surrounding towns.
It's a touring competition.
Yes.
That's what San Francisco's like too. Yeah.
And I remember driving to this town and it was raining, it was horrible, and this guy who I've never met before, and we're supposed to be a couple of funny comedians, he's going, go left, go right. In traffic. Oh my God, we're not going to make it.
Oh,
and once we saw the bright lights of that theatre in this town, he just ran to the theatre, and I then had to go and abandon the car, and
what
I walked in.
Dick.
What a desperate dude.
And then you get the big speech of, welcome to this year. Seattle Comedy Con. Oh, David Conley's made it. Oh, well done. Thank you. So thanks for, I'm sorry. I was late, obviously. And then we had to draw lots. I was number 2 on. So I was like, I didn't have time to go and have dinner or anything.
Or get loaded.
And I've been up. get loaded. Get anything. I've been up all morning. Like from 6 o'clock in the morning to get down to get my flight. And then I'm literally going on stage. And I go, I can't remember what the act was like. I mean, you can watch it. I mean, it's out there. So I think I did it, and I came off stage, and there's a documentary crew going, oh, hi, we're doing a, come into this room. They interviewed me. Still, I don't know what I said, because I was just still like, and then...
I'm so glad, by the way, they were not there when I went.
And then
I'm always worried about how many chins are showing, so I'd be totally stressed.
I fell asleep in the green room, like, halfway through the show, because I'd not slept, I'd not eaten, and I remember waking up and being surrounded by three cameras going... That's perfect, isn't it? I can just see it. Day one of the Seattle
International
competition. And
well,
he's
that's
asleep.
Fucking reality.
It's the way to get on IMDb. You know,
that's all the only reason to do
peeing
it.
Peeing or flashing or something.
Oh,
same
it was.
Way to do it.
So that year was kind of tough because like, every time I loved it, but every time you came on stage and you wanted to say you want, you know, you need to go to that decompression chamber. Back into real
life.
You're
the most vulnerable, I think, right when you get off stage.
Yeah. And there's a camera in your face, and you go, and they're going, "How are you feeling? How are you going? I'm all right." Yeah. So I mean, I think me and a lot of other comedians used to just go, it was freezing. You go out into the car park and just hide under a hoodie so that no camera could see you. I mean, play. I mean, it's good because it really I can see what they're trying to do. They want to get warts and all. The problem is, there's a hell of a lot of warts.
Lots
in a
warts,
in a comedy show.
Like, wow, we didn't know what
I
so
like lucked out. I had like good weather most of the time.
Well, that's
like,
amazing.
Like four sunny days out of six.
Oh no, we didn't have that. I think we had 4 hours of sun at one point.
Everyone was awesome. No comics were dicks. All my people were amazing.
Greenland, you guys. It's dark all day. That was the first stop on our tour. And below 0 degrees.
But I would have only come out to do the show and then I would have gone right back into my...
Well, they did. We did have like a cute little hotel room and then there was a bathroom like outside the hotel room. So every time you needed to pee, you know, you were sleeping and then you woke up. But it was super cute. No, we were just there one night and that was a fun show. Like Thule Greenland. You guys should do these military tours.
Oh, I want to do it.
I would love to. Yeah.
I just go to towns in America that no one's ever heard of. That's where I tour.
Yeah, I know. Like
you have political comedy, though.
I know. It's dangerous.
Well, you do need to have a 20-minute set with no political comedy.
Thank God I don't pay attention to current events.
I've got it.
Inspiring for military tours.
I'm going to cancel my New York Times subscription tomorrow so that I can actually make a living out of this.
You should get rid of your cable too.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah. Maybe internet. Maybe just.
Well,
yeah.
If you were smart and you just kept an old school TV like I had, eventually it would just flatline for you like mine has, and you can't watch TV.
You've been thinking ahead. Fine. Yeah, that's great for comedy, isn't it?
Yeah, it's good. You know, just I get really into.
So you're not allowed to do anything like so. You couldn't do anything political.
You'd be surprised what I got away with sexually. I mean, on stage and off. So, like, Vargas watched my set the first night.
And then watched you have
Sally
sex.
Sally
is
so cute.
Watched my set. Vargas watched
me have sex after my set.
He heard about all the sex. He didn't watch me, but he was the one who got all the reports. Yeah.
Oh, shit.
Oh, really?
There were reports about Sally's sex.
I had to report back to Vargas with everything.
Really?
It's like, just keep me in the loop, Billy. He calls me Billy.
So that was the rules. You can screw whoever you want as long as I know about it.
No, they do have rules.
Wait, does he want you to, like, tell it like a story in a slow, sexy voice? Or does... He just want the facts, ma'am.
I got him drunk, and I told him some stuff.
I
had to get him, like, juiced up. I got... Vargas was so funny.
Some stuff.
We went to this place. That's what, in Honduras. We were staying in, like, these lodges, and when the guy who, our liaison between the company and, us, I guess... He looked like Santa, so we were calling it like Santa's Haunted Village because there were no amenities like in the we'd call them amenities like cups with that and ice.
Without, like,
I don't know, amenity. Luxuries. I don't know. Anyway, Barbara was like, "I have two cups," so I came over with some vodka, and it was so funny. I like poured in the stiffest drink, and I was just like, oh, "I have some good shit to tell you." And it was so cute. He was so funny. And then we were watching TV, and they had like our postcard on the TV, and we kept like standing up and being like, "Yes,
you know,
we're we're so stupid.
So, what were the rules?
So silly.
And did you break them?
Oh, the rules are you can't go anywhere with anyone. Like, you can't go off with some soldier to the barracks and, you know, do naughty stuff. But if you
have to do it on stage in front of everybody, lay
it all out, European style. But you could bring somebody back to your place. But here's the deal. Our group... The guy from Armed Forces Entertainment, George, who was such a great handler and, like, our tour director over there, he goes, "You guys party, like, more than the bands. We
in-house. Y'all are out of control. I'm used to the bands.
Like, you guys are 11. And he had told me some stories about the bands. Some of, like, these guys, like, throwing up in the line to get on the plane and stuff.
Oh,
like,
shit.
But I gotta say, on our tour, nobody threw up. And,
That is like
that's
sign
amazing.
Of a good tour.
Nobody got sick.
Nobody vomited.
Nobody got like a cold or
that's
anything.
A successful
and
tour.
Spread it around. Yeah. I think it
no
is.
No vomit, no sick, and no political comedy.
That's just an amazing tour you had. I don't think people out there know that the level that you went to.
Well, the level of professionalism.
Yeah, yeah. That's incredible. Yeah. Not one.
I did this tour. Listen, we couldn't even vomit on this tour, yeah. Okay?
Yeah. Or have a cold. Yeah. We're popping echinacea left and right.
Yeah.
Hardcore, man.
Anyway, back to the sex. So,
David's like, let's keep it with
us. Let's keep this, you know.
Well, from what I heard, you could bring the guys, you know, back to being with you or something, but... Honestly, our crew was just, like, so tight, and we just partied so hard together. You know, there'd be nights where we just hung out together, you know?
That's awesome.
I don't really think, you know, anyone scored on the tour but me.
Oh, really? Congratulations. Well, I mean, like, you heard that here first.
Sounds gonna score, do you know?
So, where did you, I'm confused now. I need to get the geography of this right. Which country were you in when you scored?
Oh, it was like Puerto Rico. It was the last stop.
Last stop.
It was the last stop.
And he's like, I gotta make this happen before I go back.
I gotta be safe. Fuck you. I wanted to be like, hey, you guys, you know.
Yeah, you don't want to come home and not have a story to tell.
That could have been.
What kind of tour is it with a nice pet story?
Nice guy with a nice pet.
You had a pet?
A nice pet. The pet wasn't so much involved. The pet wanted to be involved.
What kind of pet was it?
No, they always want to be involved.
I probably shouldn't out the person, but it was a dog.
It was
a dog. The breed.
Okay.
Yeah, it was a dog.
Let's just go with generic dog. All right. So,
I mean, you saw what they did to Sony. I don't want any shit going down on my podcast. So be careful what you reveal.
So we will stand up to them.
Yes, we will. So and we'll air the goddamn podcast regardless.
I'll call Barack first. I'll be like, Barack, you said to talk to you first.
Yeah. David's like, talk dirty to me, Sally. Get to the sex.
I want to know what.
He's married. He needs to.
Yeah, this is just an interesting.
He has a really hot wife.
I think it's an interesting story. So you didn't bring him back to your place?
No. I mean, why would anyone want to come back to my place? Although my place that night was, the company took really great care of us. We were in the Marriott, Courtyard Marriott. It was so fun. We were all swimming in the pool. This is really funny, actually. We staged this thing where Jimmy Schubert was pretending to, like, bitch slap me in the pool. Like, I was pretending to be a wife, like, screaming at him and, like, you know, we don't spend any time with the kids.
Yeah.
And he, like, bitch slapped me and I fly across the pool and everyone, like, walking by the pool. And then
comedians love domestic parties.
I did that. I had a boyfriend, like, very early on when I was young, but we lived together for 3 years and he was Portuguese. His family came from Portugal. They don't speak any English.
Oh, no.
They had to stay with us for, like, a week. And we did this thing where, you know, you like put your hand here and then when you go to slap your hand, it sounds like you slap the face. So we had like a little tiff or fake tiff. He did that right in front of them and then I come running by them with my hand on my face like and they were like, Paulo! And they started yelling at him. His name is Paul. And they started yelling at him. Got in trouble. It was great.
That's crazy though. That's
same
awesome.
Boyfriend.
At least they have your back.
I pretended to be dead in front of the TV on the floor. And fake blood coming out of my, like he came home.
What happened?
No, he didn't think that one was funny. I thought it was great. I was like laying there with my eyes, you know, frozen.
You're cute. You're keeping it like real.
And he got upset.
Spiced up.
And was like, I thought that was serious. I was like, come on, dude. It's fake blood. If you can't recognize fake blood, we're not going to last very long.
Yeah. That means you haven't worked in any low-budget horror movies. Yeah. And you're not cool.
What do you know about love if you don't know fake blood, my man? I don't know. I wanted to mention, David.
Yes.
You did the stand-up deliver on Nouveau TV
down in Mexico.
Oh, you did it in Mexico.
I did it in Cabo.
All done that way or something?
No, I think some were done in Hollywood. I was very lucky that I was down in Cabo. And I was supposed to go back in October, and there was a hurricane. So they
a hurricane?
Your love is like a hurricane.
They cancelled it.
Hurricane.
Here I am.
This is fantastic. I'm hoping to do it again in February.
You're going to do it again?
I'm hoping so, but it's just like...
Did
it's
you
where
the R in February? That is so cute.
Well, thank you. I've been working on it. Hopefully if Carbo's put back together again. I mean, I don't
it
want
to... It is. Have you seen the billboards? Hello.
Oh, is it back? Carbo's back?
Yeah, they're like, we're ready.
Oh, good, because it certainly wasn't ready when I was supposed to go down there again. It was
if it's on a billboard, it's legit.
It's true, then. It's
all
true.
All truth is on billboards.
So, you know, advertising works. So hopefully, then I'll be back in February.
February.
Oh, that's cool. Awesome.
Is that the Cabo Comedy Competition?
Oh,
I want to go.
Oh, that is a great
Get
competition.
Get me in there. Hook me up.
Is that it? Is that what you're talking about?
It was a Cabo Comedy Competition, which I was a finalist of that one.
Nice.
And I was also, and then I did Stand Up and Deliver while I was down there, which was
nice.
Terrific. I can't do the competition again because, you know, I've done it.
Everyone wants to do it.
Everybody wants
is
to do it.
Is that on your own dime, like Seattle is?
You gotta fly there.
You have a nice hotel. You have free food all around town. You
oh
have
my
free
god,
drinks.
Winter submissions for this. Sally, we need to go
right
do that.
Okay, yeah. If anyone's listening, Leanne Tooker and I want to submit, and we're
okay.
both fucking hot.
All right, John Zeri.
And
you get
we're
that.
Hilarious.
Yeah. There you go. Everybody was, I mean, it's a great one because you are treated so well when you're there. You know.
And Sally loves, look, she all she does is buy vodka and bikini. She's ready for Cabo.
Yeah, yeah, she's already got her bikini, so. Mm-hmm.
I
that
got pocket
much.
Rockets for the plane.
Yeah, she's good. You know, and you get paid for obviously doing the TV slot if you do the TV slot. So, you know, it's
okay,
a winner.
Okay, Cabo, attention,
Look
Cabo people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So reorganized. Get on this, man.
Yeah, I will
get
on.
There you go.
I'm
so
write it down.
That was just helping you two out there, really,
Thank
wasn't
you.
It?
Yeah,
yeah.
You can't do it.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're back there performing as
I'm back there performing, but I can't do the competition again because
I What if you pretended like we were your children and we had to come with you and then, like.
I didn't know where you're going to go there. What if I put on a big moustache? And then pretend I was someone else and did the competition with the same material.
Yeah. Yeah. Somebody stole your material.
Yeah, I can't believe it. That Dave Connolly. I could be David O'Connolly. Like you said, I'll do it all in an Irish accent.
I'd love to throw that fucking O in there.
Yeah, and there you go. So, you might.
They'll never catch on. Once you put the O in front of it, they'll never know you're the same.
I'll just send a tape in and just put David O'Connolly. And I go. This guy's good. He's a little bit derivative of David Connolly.
Yeah, yeah.
Little bit similar.
He's like that guy, but his accent isn't as good as David Connolly's.
Yeah,
so.
And I'll just have a big fake moustache. Yeah, can at least this guy knows where he's from.
No. One of them's Australian, the other one's English.
Yeah, that's it. I'll go as an Aussie. Yeah, but keep the accent exactly the same.
Just say mate a lot.
Yeah, mate. Yeah.
There haven't been a lot of Aussies doing comedy. Like, the last, I think Aussies came over the last 3 or 4 years and they thought, oh, let's do comedy in America. And then they were like, oh, fuck it. It sucks.
It goes straight to England where you get paid for it.
Yeah, that's what I hear.
Yeah. In this far off land where Harry Potter derives from, you get paid.
You get paid, imagine.
Oh. And Sally mentioned that you have a hot wife.
I
but
have a hot
I also
wife.
Know
yeah,
that
yeah,
in
yeah.
addition to being hot, you guys have co-directed some movies together.
That's hot, isn't it? Yeah, we've done a few movies now. Mothers and Daughters, which in America they call something else because they like to change the name, you know.
They call it Mothers and Daughters XXX.
Yeah, basically. They call it Lovers and Other Problems. I don't know how they went from Mothers and Daughters, but that they did. So anyway, that's out. And then the
Yeah, because Americans are like, we could give a shit about mothers and their daughters. Yeah. But lovers, lovers we want to know. Yeah.
What's funny, in the rest of the world, it's got a poster of an old lady with her bra on outside her dress and someone trying to feed her. But in America, it's just like feet in a bed. And it's sort of like making out that it's something highly sexual.
Yeah.
And then I've got a film
We're
called...
Boning.
Yeah, yeah. And the Understudy, which is on Showtime right now.
Good. Oh, wow.
And
I saw that
on
in theaters.
Oh, it was in theaters, a few years ago. Yeah, and it's on Stars.
A couple years ago.
Yeah, a couple of years ago.
I mean, just a couple is really good.
Yeah, and they're running that. I get texts every day going, oh, I was just in your movie. Going, great, I'm not getting any money from that, but I'm glad you saw it.
Yeah.
That's great.
That is awesome. Wow.
I have a lot of stuff, like a lot of horror movies I'm in on Netflix, you know, so a lot of people always letting me know that I'm on there, you know.
I think people see a movie and they think that you're watching it at the same time, but they've forgotten that they've actually just downloaded it or they're watching it on TV.
Yeah.
You just lived it. You were just running through the forest.
Yeah.
And you're like, no, I filmed that 4 years ago.
That made that a long time ago. In fact, I remember one time I was actually, because every now and again, the problem with movies, you can be in a really bad one. And I remember having it at this dinner party saying, no, I don't think I've ever done a really bad movie. And then the next night, we were around someone's and they found this DVD and it was something I did in the 90s. And it was a really bad movie. And I'd literally forgotten that. I put it out of my mind.
Yeah.
And it literally started off. And then my name came up. And I went, Oh, God, I remember. This is really bad, isn't it? I'd never actually seen it, because I knew at the time. I remember thinking,
you're like,
this is bad. And we got 10 minutes. We got 10 minutes bad. In, and then I said, I'm sorry. My hands are up. This is awful. I am officially in a piece of turd.
Dude, I was in a low-budget movie in Texas, like, forever ago. It was, like, the first thing, like, movie thing that I was in, you know, and I went to this audition and got the lead, and I was so excited. Nice. It was like 2 months of like lines and fucking craft services. I thought this thing was real, you know? And then we go to the screen party. I'm so excited. Do you know what I mean? I look hot, whatever. We're going to watch this thing. I never saw like dailies or I didn't know anything about anything.
Oh.
The entire thing looked like it was shot from a fucking 7-Eleven security camera. There were no close-ups. There were no, like, I thought for sure, you know, the guy's operating the camera. I figure he knows when to zoom in, zoom out, do whatever he needs to do. Do you know what I mean?
Oh,
yeah, it was awful, you guys. It was so embarrassing.
You can be in an awful film and not realize it. That's the thing.
And I was amazing is the other thing I'd like to say. I think I was fucking amazing in that thing.
I bet you were.
And it was all wasted because it's, like, shot from fucking a million... You can't even tell it's me, probably.
No, that's bad. That's well, that's good. Maybe that's good.
Yeah, maybe that's better. I'll be like, that is not me.
I remember being in something I was so bad in, because I was being a mechanic, and I remember the director was like giving me these bizarre notes and shaking
the
head.
Mechanic type.
Yeah, exactly. And then I remember watching it and going, I was really bad at it.
Yeah.
And it's because I remember, like, they must have used all the takes where the director says, can you just shake your head? And I had no idea why I was shaking my head. Can you just do this? shake my head. Can you do this? And I was just doing all these bizarre things.
That's hard. I need to know the motivation. I had someone do that with me, and they were like, now just make a weird face.
Yes.
Well, what the fuck does that mean?
What kind of thing?
And they're like, no, a little more confused. I'm like,
I wish people could have seen your weird face in, because it was kind of exceptional. It really was good.
There's like a tongue sticking out the side.
You do know what you're doing with weird faces. But it's true. You don't really see yourself, do you?
And what kind of weird do you want, Dick?
Yeah. So she shot him. Yeah, she's American. She shot him. Yeah. He deserved it.
No, I just called the cops and they fucking killed him.
She called the cops.
You don't have to shoot him.
Yeah. She gave him a spray tan. So look, he's of color. Shoot him. Yeah. That's what they do here.
Well, we have a few minutes left. I did want to say, since it's holidays and all that jazz, do either of you have like a crazy holiday story or like a... you know, drunken. I mean, I know you guys probably haven't had a real day job in a while.
My own boss since Y2K.
Right.
I used to love it in England this time of year, because that was the one time of year I was guaranteed work, because I used to do everybody's Christmas party. That's where I used to make.
I used to make bank
from that. So
and then those are probably the best shows too. Like,
well, they're the best and the worst. So from November on through January was just, that's when I'd make bank. But you know, people used to be really drunk. I used to spend the start of the evening. I got to know how to do the show in the end. Get rid of all those party noise balloons and all those kind of shit, because they all spend on going. People would turn up dressed up as Japanese wrestlers or something like that, sumo wrestling. And I mean, sometimes it would be great, and then sometimes I do these murder mysteries, and I remember I had to come in and die and stuff like that. And I remember girls would just literally, I remember like my trousers being ripped off me, going, this is, and I'm supposed to be a dead body. And there was all kinds of shenanigans.
You're like, going on. I'm trying really hard to be
trying
dead,
really hard
but
to be
you
dead.
Fucking my trousers is a part of me that's going to betray my
yes,
death.
Yes.
Death acting.
I'm supposed to be a stiff, but not like that.
Yeah,
yes.
Little David doesn't know very much about acting.
Be careful, please. I used to go up and down Great Britain, as you like to call it here, mediocre Britain, and then we were just like, and I would be, I can't believe it. I performed, I think, to most of that country during their Christmas parties, most of corporate England.
I'm going to go, that's when I need to go.
Yeah, you need to get it set up, you know, ahead of time. Used to get paid quite well for it.
Don't you guys need to go visit family? Maybe we should do a tour.
Oh, there we go.
The three of us.
Yeah.
Okay. We've been trying to talk about a tour for a while. You know, we could. Yeah.
They do pay comedians in England.
That's what I've heard. Yeah. And I would like that.
That's the rumour that's coming around. People in Honduras going, is it true that comedians get paid in England? Oh my word. What they used to do when I was doing it is they used to have a map of the UK, and it used to be like little circles. And if you went every circle that you went beyond, you got paid a little bit more incrementally for going that bit further.
In the gigs overseas, like all the soldiers are, thank you so much for coming. I'm like, you're welcome. Do you know how hard it is to get paid in America? We are so happy to be here. Yeah. I was like, we are so happy to be paid for comedy.
For sure.
And to be treated well. And is have it hotels, a two, not sleeping
it,
in our cars.
Was it a two-drink minimum for that?
It wasn't, but we encouraged, you know, No, actually, I think that was one thing I wasn't allowed to do on stage was say their drink specials.
Oh, really?
Because I was working for the military.
But okay.
I did get a lot of drinks bought for me. Yeah. I was kind of like, you know.
Yeah.
Nice.
That's
nice.
Special, you know.
I got a Kleshnikov. Special,
yeah, but it was really fun, you guys. Yeah, you have to do it. I think next year I'm doing it in Germany.
Like in Germany,
awesome. We're taking a bus around Germany.
Don't tell them you're English. With their problems with us.
Oh yeah,
really? Yeah. Oh, yeah. I don't know if you read about this. Yeah. 1914 to 1918.
I think
there was
I've
a
seen
war.
Some movies.
And yeah. Don't watch anymore because that'll tell you too much, and that's not your comedy.
I'll stay away from
39
that.
To 45.
Yeah, so just stay.
Just don't. Yeah. Forget I said like all that.
Yeah. Wasn't there some guy with like a mustache and it wasn't even Movember?
Oh, you're right.
Yeah. He was like really working it.
Yeah. Be careful. All I'm saying is be careful, but don't look into it too deeply.
Mm-mm.
Nothing happened. Nothing really bad happened.
Yeah.
Not really.
I'm totally like, they're like, okay, we didn't ask you to be a Holocaust denier, Sally. We just asked you to not be political.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I know. Yeah, let's not. Yeah. Oh, dear. I just
like, really took it really far. Like, every time I do a military tour, I become less and less and less political.
So you're not saying that. Yeah. You're just saying you just didn't know.
Yeah.
You know.
Right. Oh.
Exactly. Yeah. I didn't go to school. Yeah. But I did. Theater degree. No, can I promote my new webisode?
Yes. I was just about to get there. Cool, let's hear it. What you got going
on? It's awesome. I'm in this project I'm really proud of. It's coming out. Actually, we're doing the first, the teaser comes out on New Year's Day. And it's called Can You Keep Up? And it's a parody of the Kardashians.
Oh, nice.
And it's with my good friends, Minnie Scarlett. She's a producer. She's also one of the stars. And Paris Kennedy, amazing girl I've been friends with since she was barely legal. And
she's the young BF I referred to earlier.
She is. She's the one. And she's Tanair awesome. Williams, you know her. She's really cool. Tanair, always just amazing and gorgeous. It's the four of us so far. And then Matthew Cook is the co-director, producer. And it's just really nicely done. It's like a Kardashians parody. It's way over the top. It's really,
that's
really
awesome.
Funny,
and that's New Year's Eve or
New Year's Day.
Coming
out. So I'm so happy with that.
And where can we, how can we watch it?
People can follow me on Twitter because I'm always putting it up all over there. Sally Mullins 1. I don't know if you know this about me, everyone out there. I know Tooker does and Kylie does, but I'm not on Facebook, so... Just find me on
she's
Twitter.
Smart. Yeah. It's Sally Mullins 1. Sally with a Y.
Mm-hmm.
Mullins and then the number 1.
Mm-hmm. I
And she's also, obviously, we tweet all kinds of photos together, so if you have any trouble, just hop over to my Twitter and you'll get her. And she also has an awesome website, SallyMullins.com.
Yeah.
SallyMullini. Mm-hmm. If you want to see her climbing out of a dumpster, this is where you should go.
And then I have a fake pregnancy.
I was about to say,
right
or
now,
if you want to see what she might look like pregnant. Do you have a very, I was reading your blog today. We had a holiday party last night. I'm a little hungover. I'm like, shit, I need to research. I'm trying to hit the bullet points, but I started reading your blog. It was so funny that I found myself like lost in it for 30 minutes, and I was like, hey, bitch, you need to get your research done.
My blog is way harsher than anything I say on stage.
I love it. It's really very raw, I like it.
I'm going to look that up.
Yeah.
Check out the raw blog on SallyMullins.com. Yeah. So if you follow her on Twitter, then we'll know when we can catch...
Can You Keep Up?
Can you keep up?
Good. Those girls are great.
Awesome.
Cute. I'm the mom. I'm like, I'm Pris Kenner. And
they always have some like hot thin chick be the mom, you know.
Oh no!
Yeah, they do.
But they those daughters are really cute.
That's so funny. She just took like a fucking major awesome bikini shot on a boat, and now she's gonna act like I don't know that I have a good body. Shut up, Sally.
Well, David Connolly and I, we both run and we both do boot camp, and we're always like, this is all we've got.
I know.
This is all we've got.
We've got to hold on to our fucking bodies.
We're not proper comedians, really, because we sort of leave the comedy store going, I've been on a drink, I've got boot camp in the morning.
Yeah.
I want to go twice.
Although I do drink.
Yeah.
Sally just makes really it happen. Good.
I went running with David, though, and he kicked my ass.
Oh, I got
well, then
that.
I'm never
going to
run
that.
In front of either one of you.
Yeah.
Because even when I was in excellent shape, I'm a slow runner. I've got short...
What's your mile?
No, it is not. I'm sure it is slower. I don't even want to say it on air. It's embarrassing.
If I'm doing a marathon, it would be a 10-minute mile I'd be doing.
We will talk about it after we get off air. Because I don't want to talk about how
slow. You need to talk to Gabrielle Abital because her ass runs really... She's another comedian. She runs really slowly, so you guys can... She's
well, you know, they have there's fast twitch muscles and slow twitch muscles, okay? And I have slow twitch. It means I have a great ass. It also means I'm a slow runner, okay?
He runs really fast, and I was like, David, I was like, I'll tell you a dirty story if you slow the fuck down.
It was a good story as well.
I know. Obviously, you really need those stories, David, because you
and it was about someone he knew, so it was really gross.
Yeah.
And, you know, I had
it
to
was
slow
about someone
down.
He knew, or
yeah.
something. It was.
I think at one point we even stopped.
Yeah,
with your mouth agape.
We had to just stop and
he
go.
He was going
to
throw up.
Yeah.
Okay, Brit.
For sure, we're talking about that shit when we get off here.
Yeah.
Now, David, your Twitter
yes
is at David_Connolly.
Yeah.
And let's spell Connolly for everybody.
Yeah. Connolly.
Right. One N, two L's. That's the other thing I kept trying to do. I kept throwing in an extra N.
Everyone gets it wrong. Everybody. Yeah. Even me on occasions.
It's the English
And his website is DavidConnollyStandup.com.
Yeah, that's it. And I put everything that I'm going to be doing up there. Like, if I'm doing a show, even if I'm doing a show in 3 hours' time, I'll go, hey, I'll put it on my website.
I do the same thing.
So you can check in.
Fuck y'all.
The problem is, and the people always say, Dave, you're not very good at advertising your shows. It's because I don't really know whether I'm doing them or not.
I know, it's so last minute in LA.
You guys both have to tweet more.
I've got some shows. I know, we do. I get told off. I've got some shows coming up in Seattle in March. So there's something to look forward to, isn't
also,
it?
Also, Showtime, right? You've got a movie on Showtime.
Out The Understudy. Go on to show.com and look up The Understudy. And I think it's on Stars as well, so Stars on Demand. So, and it's on all the time. So there's no excuse for not watching that movie.
There's
I should make
no
another one, really.
Goddamn excuse.
Yeah.
Make something where, like, me and Sally can be in it.
I think it's just the three of us, really.
Yeah, that's fine.
I think that's what all people want to see, isn't it?
Now
I know
you just sitting around the table talking, probably, is all they really want.
I think that weird face needs to be on a billboard. Yeah.
My accents are ridiculous. I will start, like, I think I'm being Indian, and then it, like, morphs into four other accents by the time we're done. It's some weird German thing. And I'm like, I don't know. You know what I'm saying. It was the IT guy. You know what I mean? Like, I can't do accents for shit. I do want to throw out two things. My listeners know, like, my Twitter and stuff like that, but I'm in a sketch group now with Heather Turman and Duke Purpolani called Basic Genius. We're on YouTube.
We also have
a website.
Oh, I like to.
On both of those. Yeah, they're both awesome. They're so talented. Cool. They do so much, like, writing. Duke's a published author, and Heather's, you know, writing for CBS Diversity.
Yeah.
And
she's
like,
I know.
They are totally the bomb. And they're, like, cool, genuine people. But anyway, so you can see the three of us. It's Basic Genius TV on YouTube or BasicGeniusTV.com. And the other thing is that I just got an Instagram a little while ago, and I'm not as cool as everyone else on Instagram, so please follow me and I'll follow you back. And I put, like, you know, I don't know why it's so weird. Instagram, it's public, or mine is, so everyone can see it, but somehow, I guess because it's just photos, I feel like it's more intimate.
Yeah.
And so I end up putting, like, photos that I wouldn't put on Facebook, I end up putting on Instagram. And then I'm like,
Really?
Yeah, last night I came
home.
Worth
joining now, isn't it?
I came home after a good night of
comedy and
drinking.
Are you allowed to put nudity on Instagram, though? I heard you're not.
Are you not?
I mean, I've seen some gay pics where, like, the dudes are naked, the dicks are covered, but, I mean, it's pretty...
Why do guys do that? Why do they put dick pics up? I mean, that's a lovely photo.
For me, because I asked them to.
Oh, because you asked them to. Oh, right,
yeah,
before.
Keep them coming.
Yeah.
Don't listen to him.
Oh, really? Mm-hmm. It's just because I was messing around with someone's Tinder account. She was saying, oh, you should answer this. And I answered it. And I got a dick pic immediately. And I was going, whoa, did you want that?
Tinder?
Yeah.
That's a whole different...
Yeah,
I can't do all
weird.
That.
That's like, can I have a shag?
I'm not on Tinder. I keep it... pretty classy. I'm on cougarlife.com, and that's
good to know, isn't it? Yeah.
I keep it pretty paranoid. I'm not on any websites. I'm just hoping that I'll one day meet someone at a show who's fucking amazing. What I'm saying is, I'll be alone for life, and that's why we need David.
You need to get on a website.
Yeah. Just do a movie, then that's simple. Yeah.
Okay, guys, I love you. Yeah. You guys were awesome. I knew that you would be. I had so much fun with you. We got to wrap it up. I do want to say that we at Dig Into It Radio wish you happy holidays, wonderful new year, because this is the last show of the year, so I'll be back in January. We appreciate you tuning in. We want to hear from you. Follow us on Twitter at Dig Into It Radio. Like us on Facebook. Subscribe for free on iTunes. And we will talk to you in 2015, and I'm going to go out with my favorite song.
Leanne Tucker is not crazy. Leanne Tucker is not crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love that.
That was fun.
Thanks. Who knew that David was going to be so into fucking sex talk?
British people are kinky perverts.
Yeah, you see.
Is that?
I don't do that myself. What?
David's like, fess up, I want to know about the sex. You know, I think if somebody is like not living on campus, so to speak, in the military, then it's okay to
Well, thank God for that, you guys.
I wasn't looking to break up any.
Yeah, she's not a home wrecker. Yeah. She's just horny. There's a difference.
Just a hoe. I put the hoe.
She took the hoe out of home wrecker.